Bishop Mullooly, the friends and family of Bishop Saltarelli, who have traveled to be with us this night as we pray and remember your friend and your uncle, our bishop, God's people of the Diocese of Wilmington, the people whom this man shepherded for 12 years, who was an example to us all, to my brother priests and deacons, God's blessing as we gather tonight. We're here in this beautiful church this evening with a mixture of feeling and emotion. For sure, one of those feelings is great respect and reverence because we are commending to the Lord our shepherd, who with wonderful gifts of faith, great wisdom, prudence, humility, and sensitivity to the needs of God's people, led us with fatherly care for 12 years on our earthly pilgrimage to heaven. When Bishop Saltarelli came to us in 1996, as the church encouraged us, we gladly and gratefully welcomed him and accepted him as our new shepherd. And we did so with great hope, as this minister of Christ, this steward of God's mysteries, as he was referred to on the day he was consecrated bishop. He came among us as our spiritual father. And from the first day in Wilmington, Bishop Saltarelli inspired us with his deep and evident faith, his enthusiasm for Christ, his dedication to church and God's people. And we knew that first day, early on, that the Lord had provided us with a strong, loving, and wise shepherd. We also gather this night with a deep sense of gratitude for his many works and initiatives in his 12 years of ministry, which eloquently testify to his accomplishing the task the Lord had entrusted to him. Bishop Saltarelli was, in the words of consecration, that faithful overseer and guardian who, mindful and in the example of the Good Shepherd, came to know us, love us, and he served us. What more could give us this sense of gratitude tonight as we commend him to the Lord? There is a sense of loss, a real feeling of loss, for we will miss his prudent advice, his caring and fatherly manner, his unfailing patience, his strength in preaching and in exemplifying the gospel. But there is also, in the midst of these feelings and emotions, a sense of joy. Joy because in him we have been blessed, abundantly blessed. So our joy culminates in this great prayer of thanksgiving that we offer tonight. To his personal family, who have journeyed to be with us these prayerful days of remembrance, we extend to you our deepest sympathies and our promise of our prayers in your time of loss. We came to love him. We can only imagine how much you loved him. All but one of the bishop's sisters have passed on, so that with true sisterly care, they have paved the way, if you will, for his homecoming. To his sister Bernice, who's unable to be with us tonight because of her own infirmities, we offer her our special prayers and our condolences. And to the many, many nieces and nephews, and I suspect great nieces and great nephews, we extend you our condolences and our thanks for sharing your Uncle Mickey with all of us. On the night before he died, Jesus gathered his friends in that upper room. In that sacred space, three things happened that we Christians have remembered ever since and celebrate every year. The first, Jesus got up from the table, took off his outer garment, put on a towel, the clothing of a servant. Holy Scripture tells us that he could do this because, in the words of St. John, he knew that he had come from God and that he was going to God. Jesus, fully aware of himself, does this awesome, humble, loving act. He then poured water into a basin and began to wash one by one the feet of his disciples. And when he came to St. Peter, we all remember the story, Peter absolutely refused. No, he said, you're not going to wash my feet. But Jesus insisted, telling him that if he did not wash his feet, Peter could have no part with him. And we know he gave in enthusiastically. There's an Oriental Christian writer who suggests that when we die, Jesus will be with us just the way he was with his disciples on the night he died. He'll be waiting for us with a towel round his waist. He, the master and ruler of the universe, will be on bended knee waiting for us. And he'll pour water into a basin and will offer to wash our feet with and wipe them with a towel. And he'll look deeply into our hearts and he'll say to us, your journey's been long. Let me wash your hands and feet. Let me be your servant. Second thing that happened on that very special night we call Holy Thursday is that Jesus gave his disciples a new commandment. He said to them, if I, your Lord and Master, have washed your feet, you also need to wash each other's feet. I have set for you an example, as I have done, so you must do. And he followed that dramatic action of washing of feet with his final instruction to his apostles, his first bishops, love. Love one another. The third thing that happened on that Holy Thursday night was that Jesus took bread, gave thanks, broke it, and gave it to his disciples, saying, this is my body, which is given for you. And then he took the cup, gave thanks, and gave it to them, saying, this is my blood, which is poured out for you. Our lives on earth are nourished Sunday after Sunday with the body and blood of our Lord Jesus. And for the priest and bishop Saltarelli, that nourish was taken every day. He who provided the food of love partook of it and found in it the nourishment and strength needed to live as the Lord had called him. I begin my few words of homily this evening with this reflection on the great and wonderful events of the Last Supper because of the real connection between the three things we Christians remember and celebrate that great and holy night and the life of our bishop. Bishop Saltarelli's life was characterized by his daily imitation of the master teacher, the Lord Jesus, as servant. Like Peter, he knew that in a real sense he was unworthy for the Lord to wash his feet. Real humility, not bravado, but real humility. And we can hear him say, perhaps on more than one occasion, Lord, who am I that you should do this for me? But at the Lord's insistence, and he listened well to that divine voice throughout his life, he did as the Lord asked. It's the motto under his crest, obedience to Christ Jesus. And he said those words that he repeated daily at Holy Mass, O Lord, I am not worthy, but only say the word. I said real humility, no bravado. Humility that characterizes a real man who has a true grip on himself, recognizing his gifts and talents, but also his faults. Not overwhelmed by either, but willing to step out in faith at the Lord's call to do the Lord's bidding. This was our bishop. This humble way of life finds its root in faith. Faith is a gift from God, not given to all. And to whom this faith is given, it behooves to nourish it well. Faith simply is belief in God. Belief that he breathed life into us. That he loved us so much he gave his life for us. That he loves us so much that he is present in our hearts through the gift of the Spirit. Someone once said that faith is reason that has become courageous. Faith is reason that has become courageous. How it characterizes our Bishop Saltarelli. And you know, that's all Jesus ever asks of us, faith and courage. And the reason that he asks us for faith and courage is because he wants to use us. He needs our help. It's almost impossible to believe in God, the Almighty, wanting our help, but the Lord Jesus tells us it is so. It's at the bottom line of all of his teachings. The faith he asks of us is not to understand him, but rather to follow him, and in following him, grow in our knowledge of him. By that and that alone can a person convert the sometimes tragedies of life, its disappointments and disillusions, into the most glorious field of honor, worthy of dignity of a Son of Man. What Christ asks is that we simply try it. He even dares us to have faith in him and to follow him. And in the following, even in our imperfect ways, we find his life. Death is usually thought of as a valley of shadows, but this evening we're here to celebrate light, not darkness. And we who are privileged to walk the path of life with Bishop Saltarelli bask in a glow of radiant light. In the book of Proverbs, there's a verse that beautifully describes the light and life of faith. It says, "The path of the just one is like a shining light that glows in brilliance until perfect day." And there are two distinct characteristics about this path of the just one which the sacred writer mentions. The first is that the light is shining. Now that may seem redundant, for how can light be called light unless it's shining? But we all know some lights have the potential for great shining, but they just don't. In a Sermon on the Mount, Jesus spoke about the absurdity of placing a lighted lamp under a basket. It doesn't make sense. That lesson from the sermon was the theme of the bishop's life. It would embarrass him to hear us say it, and I don't intend to offend his modesty, but the fact is he was a good person who lived a radiant life. There was a glow about him, but he would be the first to admit that the glow was a borrowed glow. His radiance had as its source the Lord Jesus. And just as the moon beautifully and faithfully reflects the light of the sun, so Bishop Saltarelli reflected the one who is the light of the world. The primary place for any type of radiant life and light belongs to Christ and Christ alone. It is his love, his faith, his goodness, his compassion that dispels fear and hatred. But Bishop Saltarelli was one of those priceless souls who allowed some of that light to shine through, and all of us saw it in his life of service to us. The other characteristic of the pathway of the just one found in that verse from Proverbs is that it is an increasing light. No light or life is static. One either increases or decreases. Some light grows brighter, others grow dimmer. Bishop Saltarelli was one of those who grew in stature and influence with age, and the longer he was here, the brighter was his light. And I think special brilliance in these past number of months as he was bearing up his final cross. Surely he was not perfect. None of us are. God doesn't expect us to be. What God does expect is that we stretch ourselves in faith and in a life of service dedicated to family, friends, those in need, and those he has entrusted to our care. In the process, we ourselves grow, and in a certain way, we approach the perfection that resides in the depths of each of our souls. We all struggle to allow this to happen, but it's in the struggle, in the consistent day in and day out of gift of self, that we are perfected, that we become more humble, more pure in spirit, more meek, more merciful, more pure of heart. There's yet another verse in Holy Scripture that comes to mind as we reflect on the life of our bishop, and the expression is the fullness of time. We find that expression in both Old and New Testament. In the fullness of time, something happened. In the fullness of time, the designs of God were fulfilled. In the fullness of time, he gave us our Savior. Well, in the fullness of time, gave us as a witness of his love. This man we called our bishop, and now in the fullness of time, he's called him back to himself. Even as we gather with a certain sense of sadness, that sadness is shot through with a deep serenity and a great gratitude for his life. And when we say before God that we are thankful to have known and loved him, we are in fact thanking God for revealing something of himself in human form. As we already said, it is only in the Lord Jesus that we see the glory and the goodness of God fully shining in the face of a human. And yet it is also true that in the goodness of every human being, there is another, if different, revelation of God, incomplete, flawed, but nonetheless the mirror of the Father. So our loss is mingled with gratitude because we've been in the presence of someone who has helped us glimpse the Lord himself. All of us here in life are called to echo the life of Christ, to grow in wisdom and age as he did, to reach out like him, healing the wounds of others, to love children, to have compassion on the weak, to make our hearts known to our friends, to forgive and to be forgiven, to oppose evil, to live the gospel, and the litany could go on. But these facets of Christ himself are alive for us tonight because we've glimpsed them in the struggling life and love of the man we commend to the Lord. Struggling because, like all of us, he was imperfect, yet a struggling love because through a long life he learned from God to let go of himself and to live for others. May he now live in that eternal peace in the presence of the Lord he strove to imitate.